do the laws of prayers, and we're up to chapter 113, Kuf Yud Gimel. This talks about Dine HaKriyas B'Yudches Brachas U'Boistes Ifim. We're talking about the time that you bow down, kneel and bow down, you're kneeling in the 18 blessings, these places, and there is 9 subsections. Subsection 1, Aleph. Eilu brachis sheshoichin bahen. These are the blessings that you would bow. Ba'avis, in the blessing of Avis, that's the first blessing. Tchila v'soif, in the beginning and the end. So you said, Baruch ato Hashem. So he calls that bowing and or kneeling and bowing. And ubehuda, and also when you say the blessing of Haidah, which is Modim Anachnu Loch, Tchila V'Soif, the beginning and the end. So you say Modim, and then when you say Baruch Ato Hashem, Atov Shimcha, you also bow again. V'im Bo Lishchois B'Soif Kol Baruch Oy B'Tchilosa. But if a person comes to, he wants to bow, he feels like he wants to do more. And he wants to bow like in the beginning, the end of every bracha, or the beginning of each bracha. He wants to start it off with a bow. We teach him that he should not bow. Why? So he should not come to uproot that which the sages have instituted. Because people, why? Because it'll turn out that he will be uprooting the institution that rabbis have instituted. Why? Because people are going to say everybody does as they want. Because they're going to see people bowing in different places. They're going to say there is no... Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
They're going to say that there is no takon of the chacham to bow at all. And that way they will come to become lenient in the blessing of Avos and Haidah, which is a requirement to bow. So that's why the rabbis don't want you to bow just wherever you choose. We're talking about the beginning or the end of any other bracha. Only bow where the rabbis told you to bow. Because if everybody starts bowing as they wish, then people are going to then assume that it's not an obligation, it's not a requirement, everybody does as they wish, and therefore they won't do later on, say, well, we don't wish to bow anywhere. So that wouldn't be. So therefore, you can't add to that.
Sometimes it seems like some people bow continuously throughout the entire prayer.
Okay, so that's actually, talks about like especially, we'll see what it says here, it talks about like in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, especially people you bow down, but it says there too that they have to sort of straight. We'll see that this rule that he's speaking about over here is only in the beginning or the end of the blessings, because that's the spaces where the rabbi have instituted. But wait 1 minute. Avo be'emtze ison, but in the middle of a blessing, over there he says muter lishchos. Over there you're allowed to bend. Because over here we don't need to worry that this might bring him to uproot what the sages have instituted by doing this. Since the rabbis have not instituted at all to bend in the middle of any bracha. So bending in the middle of the brachas is fine, because there's no brachas that they instituted, so you can bend the middle of the brachas. But when it comes to the beginning or the end of the brachas, which in 2 brachas the rabbis instituted, the bracha of Avos and the bracha of Modim, they instituted to bow down. And if you're going to start bowing down in extra places, you're going to get people confused, and you might cause them not to bow down anywhere. So maybe what you're talking about when you see people bowing down, maybe it's the middle of the brachas, not in the beginning at the end. As I said, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Rosh Hashanah, when over there it talks about people who want to bow down, he tells them, however, before you get to the beginning or end of any bracha, you must stand up straight. So that you shouldn't be bowing down in the beginning of the end of bracha. That's one thing. The other thing is, When you're talking about the little bent, that may not be qualified as a full bowing down. No, maybe they're just a little bent, not, they need to bend more, maybe. That's maybe another reason, but whatever. In subsection 2, Beis. Oh, we're going to talk about now. Anoyagim lishchoiz b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur. Those who have the tradition to bend on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we just talked about it, unbeknown to me that this sif, I was learning the sif in memory from Rosh Hashanah, what we learned over there, but he refers to it, he says clearly. So, k'sha'imrim zochreinu micha moicha, actually, these people have the custom that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to bow while they're saying these prayers of Zochreinu L'chaim and L'chofetz B'chaim and Micha Moicha. I was talking about the same that people pray all the time. So he says, Tzrichim Liskoif K'shimagim L'soif HaBracha. So they should raise, straighten out when they come to the end of the Bracha. So Ba'af Alpi Sheba'avis Koreim L'soif HaBracha. So, if they have a tradition that they want to bow down for Zochreinu Micha Moicha, so what do we care? Let them already bow down, and they will be bowing down already for the blessing of Ovis. Anyways, you bow down for the Ovis. So let them already continue staying in that state, even for the Bracha, because it is a place where you bow down. He says, no. Even though by the Ovis you do bend in the end of the Bracha, you have to raise yourself a little bit at the end of Zochreinu. At the end, we say Zochreinu L'chaim, raise a little bit. Prior to saying a few words which are next to the Baruch Ata, where you're going to bow down. So, in order for you to be able to bow down again, we don't want you to continue as a bow down. We want you to get up, so that you can again bow down, when you're going to say Baruch Ato, we want you to bow down again. Because it's not sufficient just by bending down that you've been doing in Zochreinu. Because you need a kneel when it comes to Baruch. Because later on, we'll see in Sif Hei, we'll sing that the way you do it is, and we'll see that you kneel, Baruch, you kneel, Baruch, you kneel, and then you bend, and then you stand up. So we're saying that if you're going to be bending already, then you won't be able to kneel. That's number one. Another reason, we'll see, and we'll see soon exactly how he does it. And further, so that it should be visible that this that he's bowing again, that he's kneeling, is for an obligation. If he'll be already down there, you're not seeing that he's doing something that he was obligated to do. You just figure he's just continuing to stand the way he is. Because the first bowing down that he bent down, that was optional. That he didn't have to bend down because that was extra. But at the end, when he says, which is the second bracha already, over there, you have to just get up by you get to Baruch Ato, because over there there's no kneeling. Then you have to stand up a little bit. In that spot, you should not be adding to what the Chachamim said, because by the Bracha Mechaya Mesim, there's no bowing over there. So you have to get up, not to add with them before. Because the rabbis, you're going to be adding to what the rabbis said. The rabbis said only to bow in the first Bracha, in Ovis and Hoidah. And now you're going to be bowing in the next bracha, like we learned earlier, you're not supposed to do that. So therefore, he's saying to you, he's talking about the people that have a tradition in Aser Shemei Tshuva to bow down when they say Zochreinu L'chaim, and then when they say Micha Moicha. Zochrein L'chaim comes right before the bracha of Ovid, the end of Ovis, which you do bow. Micha Moicha comes right before the bracha of Mechayim Esim, which you don't bow. So he's saying in both cases, in the first case, by Zochrein L'chaim, which you bow at the end, he's telling you to get up a few words before this, so that you can re-bow, because he's saying that so that A, you should kneel, be able to kneel and bow, and B, so it should be visible that you're kneeling and bowing because the rabbis told you so, not just because arbitrary. So that's the reason. But when we're talking about the Micha Moicha, which is before Mechayim Esim over there, you can just wait right before Baruch Atah Hashem. Over there you got to stand up a little bit, so that you shouldn't come across as doing more than the rabbis. And we said it before, we don't want you to do that, because you might cause it all to be forgotten. They're going to say that everybody does whatever they want.
Is that in daily? Do we see that in daily?
No, just in Aseret Yemei Teshuva we're talking about, during the 10 days of repentance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Sometimes I see you guys going like this.
Shaking.
No, is that for Ose? Ose Shalom, you back up.
Just in the middle of the prayer. People are shaking and doing various different things. Those are not, those are just... Yeah, these are just, you know, actually when you watch the Rebbe daven, the Rebbe would always daven silently, with various different rabbis and various different Hasidim, have various different expressions. Sometimes they're so excited in the davening. A lot of people clap their hands, some people sing songs, some people yell out words, that's their tradition. You know, but in Chabad, the Rebbe daven like a total subjugated servant in front of his master, and without any external expressions at all whatsoever. It was amazing. Yeah. Now,
the Uferatza,
subsection Gimel, subsection 3. Hakoreya behoido shebibirchas hamozin ubehoido shalhalu. We do say, what is the... Hoidah in Birchas Hamazon, you say no delecha. I guess that's the blessing of Hoidah. We thank you. We are thankfully thanking Hashem. So, one who bows there, he says no delecha. Or in the Hoidah of Hallel, which is when he says Hodel Hashem Kitov. Harei Zemeguna. This person is degraded. It's not the right thing to do. You don't do it in your own places when you say it's your own modim. V'hu adin b'shar hidos. Same thing is true for all other times when we sort of give thanks to Hashem. Kigoin, like we say, l'chol levatcha nachnu modim. We say to you alone we are thankful. Don't do modim over there. Don't bow down over there. Or v'atelekenu modim anachnu loch. Another verse. Now, God, we are thankful to you. Again, don't bother. She'ein l'chroya b'baruch atov v'loy b'hoidah, because one shall not kneel during a baruch atov or during saying hoidah. Elo b'mekoyme she'tiknu chachamim, only in the places where our sages have instituted. One should not go ahead and do it on his own. In the blessing of Ovis, the first blessing in the beginning and the end, and only in the moedim that is in the tefillah, that is in the prayer, in the Amida, in the beginning and the end. This is why. So he says like this: Mibnei shaloshin hido, eina miloshin hishtachvo klal. The language of thankfulness, the word hoidah, has nothing to do, is not at all connected, is because not come from the language of bowing down at all. In other words, we don't bow because the word moidim means bow. Moidim doesn't mean bow at all. So there is no point in bowing when you say moidim. Ela meloshin hachzokas toivo vihilu. What it is it's the fact, it's an expression of gratefulness and praise. You're thankfuling Hashem, so that's holding a favor, in other words, saying, thanking Hashem, being grateful and showing thankfulness and the appreciation, that's what the modem is, and the prayer. Reya Machmas Loshen Hoidoa, but if one should bow down just because he uses the language of Hoidoa, because he uses the language of thankfulness, Shamaskia that he's mentioning, so now if the person will bow because he's saying thank you, Harizemiguna, then this one is degraded, Visekelhu, and he's a fool. And his bowing is foolishness. In other words, he's almost like saying, oh, I'm bowing to you, because modim does not mean bowing. It has nothing to do with bowing. And if you bow when you say modim, so when we say the modim and we bow because we have an expression of thankfulness, that's something else while we're bowing. But we're not bowing because the word means bowing. And there are a person who does it not where the rabbi said, he's almost trying to imply that the word modim means that you bow down. You know, when it's not, doesn't have nothing to do. It doesn't, in other words, it doesn't even mean, oh, I'm grateful to you and I'm bowing to you because of the gratefulness. No. The rabbis instituted that over there you should bow, but not connected to the word modim. Abel, me. So he says, but there is, if you notice, there is many places where the Chazan bows in other places, even besides this place. So he's like this. Not where it says modim, but the person who will kneel, and in this case kneeling doesn't mean mamash on his legs, would mean bend his legs. We'll see later on. So one who kneels in the certain places in which there is praises, or there is asking Hashem, or he's bowing down because of some reason that he has. He has some reason. It seems to him that it's fitting to bow at that place. I mean, a person feels he wants to bow in a certain place, it makes him, or there's a custom. Like the bending in the Kaddish, at the end, you by every sentence you bend down, you say, you have a, you make a little bow. Maybe he got so excited in his davening, his heart became excited in davening, he became so excited, and he bows. You know, he wants to. So it's physical expression. Then that one is praiseworthy. That's okay. That would not be considered adding to the sages' institute or they've instituted. Well, why? Over there, they only instituted when you say thank you in the Haidah of the davening. So now that you're starting to bow, that should, you might confuse, say, well, you shouldn't add to what the rabbis have said. So why would you be bowing? You'd be bowing in the wrong places now. The rabbis didn't say to do that. So he says no. This is actually compared, just like somebody wants to kneel in the middle of the blessings of the prayer. In that case, there is no considered adding over what the Chachamim have said. Since they have not instituted to bowing in the end of any middle bracha, so if you want to bend, that's okay. Commotion is bad, as we just explained earlier in Sif Aleph. But if you would bow down just because it says the words modim over there, modim anachlach, that's a foolishness. Shemaskir, that he mentions the word haidah, harizisachal, then he's a fool, because that's not really the meaning of it. So if you want to bow because you feel you want to bow in places that you feel, or you're excited, or you got whatever it is, it's okay to bow over there. It's not going to adding. But not, don't bow because there's a word that you think that you want to associate it to that.
And the reason why we bow when we say the avot is because it's the beginning of
avot. No, the rabbis instituted that. That's what the rabbis instituted in the beginning and the end of avos, and didn't say why. The same thing is, it says, and all those who are standing up straight will bow before you. This is a pasuk, and that's said on Shabbos. That it says on Shabbos. So you're reading it every step of bed. So he figures he's going to bow down. He's gonna kedeya. He's going to kneel over there because he's going to bow before Hashem. Harzegam ki miguna. So over there, it's also considered to be